We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
It's that time of night, you can't stay uptight. So come and join the people that are feeling all right. Here on Overnight America. Overnight America.
Kind of, maybe. This is going to be one of those interesting weekends, at least in my house, because I have the house to myself, and I'm going to try to get as much work as I can done. I started to write down a list of all the things I need to do. All right, I need to paint the baby room. I need to do some touch-ups to the wall. There's a couple of areas, like, I could do that better, so I'm going to try to redo it, make it look nicer. Got to work on the lawn a little bit. I got to get some different chemicals to try to open the pool up. It's going to be warm enough. So there's some things I want to do in order to try to prepare it so when my wife and son come back from visiting her parents' house and getting a little bit of a break from staying in the house here, that she'll come home and she'll say, wow, I can't believe all the things you got done. It's a twofold problem because I also find that when I'm around the house and I could only watch so many things until I become extremely bored. I tried to watch some, you know, documentaries or whatever it is, and today I had to wake up early because they left early and we had a late night last night, but still I could barely sleep after that hour with Bob Costas. I got to tell you, it was an exciting night. So I woke up early and then I recorded that interview with Pete Hegseth, who was in the last hour. I know you'll enjoy that interview if you want to go back and listen to it. We'll put it up on the podcast page and also the Radio Rewind on the radio.com app or just at online. You can get a link to it. But I also had another thing, and we were supposed to do and hop on this training video, and I messed up the time. I thought it was 2 o'clock, but it said 2 Eastern, so I missed it. So either way, I found myself getting free time today, but I didn't want to commit myself to doing any work, and that was a mistake too because I got bored with the free time. This is something I don't understand. Every day I'm here at the house, I get all of this pulled in different directions. My wife needs me to do something. My kid wants to play. I got to do this. I got to do that. Okay, I got to take a nap. I don't need to take a nap. I got to go pick this up, or I got to go work that. All of these different ways, and I feel like I never get free time to myself when the house is full. And then what happens? I get the entire house to myself. I can do whatever I want. I have the freedom to do it. And then I get so bored that I have to do work. So the things that I try to get a break from, I got to turn around to do it anyway. But there's a little bit of freedom with that. You get to work at your pace. You get to do the things you want. You don't have to be distracted all that much. And if you want to take a break, you can. Tomorrow being my day off, which is Fridays, I've already considered how I'm going to spend that day. I got a lot I got to do. And there's going to be a point where I just say, okay, that's it. I think Joya's is open. I got to double check. And I think they've been working out trying to make a window in one of their locations. But, man, anytime I get a day off, I try to take advantage of that. I go to places that my wife doesn't like, so she's not big into sandwich shops. But when I get the free time, whew, that's why I got to take advantage of it. So that's what my weekend looks like. Hopefully yours is going to be a nice weekend, too. It's Memorial Day weekend, a little bit different with the social distancing, probably the different things you would be doing you have reconsidered or may have been closed ahead of time just in preparation of it. But we'll be back again Sunday night. We'll be on Monday night. And if you want to reach us, we're always on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. It's a great way for you to reach out and get in there, too. A few things I want to talk about, and this interview, I pushed it back, but I still want to play it. Our friend Brad Young had a conversation with him about two different legal matters that are pressing right now. One is the Supreme Court has blocked the House from accessing the Mueller grand jury material, so I wanted to ask him about that, what he thinks about that. The other one is a judge blocking Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner, and for the longest time, she's been trying to pay these outside law firms for her legal bills, which is, to me, this is more than roll your eyes. This is like, you got to be kidding me moments. So a judge has now currently blocked that. What does that mean, and why was it blocked? Is that typical? We're going to talk to Brad Young about that, too. And I got a lot of other things I want to try to get into, but we only have so much time, and it's the last hour of the show for the week, and I always want to keep things a little bit more flexible. So if there's something you want to talk about, the number is 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. That's how you reach the show. A couple of different ways to do it. And I got to say, thank you for everyone on Facebook that's been trying to put their vote out there on who I should be putting together the next radio documentary special on. I haven't decided if it's going to be Jim White or John McCormick, one of the two. As of right now, Jim White is winning the poll on Facebook. John McCormick seems to be winning the listener vote, the ones that have been calling into the show tonight. A lot of John McCormick fans. So it could go either way. The good thing is I'm going to eventually do a special on each of them. So whoever goes first, you know, it's nice, but the other one will also get a special. So you're not going to miss out on anything depending on how it goes. Our friend Brad Young is going to be coming up next. Looking forward to spending some time with him on Overnight America KMOX.
St. Louis's Morning News. Total Information AM. Weekday mornings at 5 on KMOX and KMOX.com.
We like to bring Brad Young from Hairstyle Fisher & Young on the show every once in a while when there's some legal matters to discuss, and a few of them, some local, some national. Brad, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure, Ryan. Good evening, sir.
Let's start with the local story, and there's a headline here that a judge has now blocked the circuit attorney Kim Gardner from paying outside law firms. There was some question if she would be able to use public funds for her defense, and we know that there are still things that she is defending. I want to know your thoughts on this. Is it the right move by the judge? Is it a shocking move by the judge? Just in general, what do you think about it?
Well, I think it is the right move. And of course, the granting of a temporary restraining order means that the judge has some degree of certainty that the plaintiff will prevail. In this case, the plaintiff is a taxpayer. His name is Charles Lane. And he was suing because the circuit attorney's office has been spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on outside attorneys. Now, you know, I always like to make the joke. I always appreciate it when lawyers get paid. Okay. And so I'll get the joke out of the way. But the bottom line is that there's really no basis for the circuit attorney's office to hire all of these outside attorneys. She's got practically a law firm going on here with all the outside attorneys that she's been hiring over the years. And there's no budget for that. The city hasn't allocated funds for that. She's signed contracts, and these contracts involve her being represented personally in addition to professionally. So, of course, that violates state law. So there's been a lot of legal issues. It's taken a year for the judge to rule on this for the temporary restraining order, and I think it's the right decision.
So why would it take, in general, this type of timeline, a year before a ruling would come down on this? Is that typical?
That's longer than one would expect. Mm-hmm. It has truly taken a long time. And the question, though, becomes why does the circuit attorney's office feel the need to hire outside attorneys? And her position on all of these issues has been that that she thinks there's a conflict of interest with the city councilor's office. Because keep in mind, the city of St. Louis already has its own law firm. It's called the, they have their own attorney's office, city attorney's office within the city government. So she's felt the need, because of unstated reasons, that there's a conflict of interest. So she's hired all these outside attorneys. And finally, the judge has said no more.
So at this point, she has spent taxpayer money, but moving forward, at least temporarily, she can't do it anymore. Is that the case?
That's correct. Temporary restraining order prevents her from hiring any more attorneys, paying any more outside attorneys, or entering into any additional contracts for outside attorneys. Now, what the court order does not state is how quickly it will move to a full hearing as opposed to a temporary restraining order. We don't know that, but I'll be certainly watching for that news to come out any day.
And I'm wondering, too, how many different cases is she involved in right now, at least on a personal level? Because for a while there were some ideas of things that could be down the pipeline. And it's the weird thing is, we've got a million other things going on in the news. You seem to forget about stuff like this. So could you kind of remind me how many different things she's involved in right now?
Oh, maybe I can keep track. I'm sorry I didn't keep a scorecard here. I should have brought my program. But because there's several. I mean, there's several. In particular, there's the whole issue with regard to William Tisby about whether he perjured himself, and she's been involved with that. There's also issues regarding the racial discrimination lawsuit that she has filed, alleging that there's a conspiracy between the city of St. Louis, the police department, and others, including Charles Lane, who's the plaintiff. He's one of the named defendants in that other lawsuit, alleging a mass conspiracy against her based upon race. There's also her bar complaints that she's been defending. There's several pending bar complaints with the Missouri Bar Association that they're deciding at this point whether to move forward. There have been multiple grand juries that have been formed to investigate potential wrongdoing. The last grand jury, I believe, expired in February, but then the world closed. So I'm not exactly sure what the status on that is in light of the global pandemic. So, she's got as many legal issues going on as President Trump, and so she's been hiring outside counsel, but apparently that will now come to a close.
Yeah, you reminded me of all these things. It's a whirlwind. All of a sudden, you're just reminded of all the different types of things she's juggling right now, and I completely forgot about the lawsuit, which leads me also to believe this is probably, I hate to put it this way, but COVID-19 probably delayed a lot of the discovery issues that she was having issues with and turning documents over. So who knows how much longer this is going to be dragged out because of the way the court system seems to have been closed for the last couple of months.
Yeah, and it has. And frankly, the court system, certainly in Missouri and Illinois and the states where I practice, pretty much everything has been closed except for emergency hearings. If it's not a true emergency, everything is being continued because of the obvious closure of the court system and personnel issues and social distancing and all of those things that have affected the rest of the world. They've also affected the court system. So usually courts do move slowly, and that's a complaint that I hear often. But in this instance, I think it's somewhat justified.
Well, if we look at the Supreme Court yesterday, there was the headlines that the Supreme Court is blocking some documents to be released when it came to some of the grand jury materials with the report. The Mueller report was connected with it as well. And when the Supreme Court normally makes a decision, there's a couple of things they can do. They can kick the can down the road. In this case, I don't know if they're kicking it necessarily. It just seems like they're delaying until maybe a month or two before they actually make a ruling, which sounds to me that they are going to have to make a ruling on this before the election.
It probably will. And here's the issue at play on the national scene here, Ryan, and that's the following. The House of Representatives under Nancy Pelosi has been attempting to get grand jury testimony for the Mueller investigation. Now, as you well know, federal law prohibits the disclosure of grand jury testimony. And there's a very good reason for that. I'll get into that in a moment. But the House of Representatives wanted that grand jury testimony. The House of Representatives in the past has been able to get access to grand jury testimony in conjunction with an impeachment proceeding, which was done under the Nixon administration, also done under the Clinton administration. But in this instance, there is no current pending impeachment proceeding in the House of Representatives, since that was already resolved in the Senate. So the question to the Supreme Court is, does the House of Representatives have the right to access legally protected secret grand jury testimony for an impeachment proceeding that is currently not a proceeding? That's a question that the court has simply never faced before.
That's interesting. And that's why it goes to the Supreme Court, when there's those type of important questions that have never been faced. But if we were to look at, and I don't even know if this plays into the decision making of the Supreme Court, but just knowing what we know with the way information seems to get leaked, we know that the way the FBI handled information, we know during the Obama administration, there was certain information unmasking of General Flynn. We find that there was a lot of requests to unmask, but the idea that it was being used to float it to the media to perpetuate even further investigations down the line, kind of to circumvent the system in general. Does the Supreme Court even look at the way information has been handled and say, maybe it's best that we don't release this right now?
You know, I don't think that the Supreme Court would really take that into consideration, because what the court is always faced with is two things. First, how do I resolve the current issue? And secondly, how is the way that we decide this issue, how might it affect future courts, future presidents, future interpretation of the Constitution? So in that context, I think the court would want to make a ruling that is consistent maybe with past situations where the House of Representatives has accessed grand jury testimony, and also planning on the fact that this may happen again in the future. And I think they would want to base it on a historical, constitutionally sound principles, rather than, you know, so-and-so can't keep a secret, so we're going to rule against them. So I think they will look at this with a much larger vision than simply the kind of minutiae of details that we see in the press every day.
I see. So in instance, like, maybe the whole reason it got to this point was because of the nonsense that led into it, as sloppy and really inappropriate as may it be. I would almost look at it and say, it never should have happened to begin with. So there shouldn't have been something like this to be released in the first place. So it's kind of a moot point. But if the Supreme Court doesn't look at it that way, then I guess it's anything could happen, really, before the election.
It can. And, you know, one other point I want to make on this, Ryan, is that federal law specifies that grand jury testimony is to be maintained and be kept secret for a very good reason. You know, we've all heard the phrase, you can indict a ham sandwich. Okay? We've heard that phrase 1,000 times. And the reason why that phrase has meaning is because an indictment is something that's fairly easy to get, because the grand jury only hears one side of the testimony. So, for example, if it's, it would be the example that comes to mind, rather, would be if a blind person is saying that Ryan Recker ran a red light, okay, and the person's blind, but you would only know that on cross-examination. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't it true, Mr. Charles, that you are in fact blind and you couldn't see Mr. Recker run the red light? Oh, that's right. Okay, I'm giving a silly example to demonstrate an idea, which is unrebutted testimony is usually inherently one-sided until you hear the cross-examination. Mm-hmm. In an indictment, in a grand jury, rather, that information, there is no cross-examination. You're only hearing one side of the story. So there's a recognition that that's inherently, potentially unreliable. So we're going to keep that secret because that testimony has not been challenged. That's why the information is kept secret. And that's why I'm of the belief that the Supreme Court should maintain that secrecy, because otherwise there could be explosive information that would leak out of the House of Representatives, and it could be only partially true or maybe not true at all.
One more question for you. Brad Young from Hairstyle, Fisher & Young, and totally unrelated to everything we're talking about, but when it comes to movies that depict courtroom activities, where does My Cousin Vinny fall in? Is that somewhat accurate? Is that a nice representation of a courtroom?
You know, I've never heard a judge say, "Counselor, what is a ute?" You know, I've truly never heard that phrase in court before, and nor would I expect to. But I have had many entertaining occurrences in court over the years, but never have I had anything as funny as Joe Pesci in a suit and a bad wig. I have never seen anything that funny in my life in court.
Brad Young from Hairstyle, Fisher & Young, thank you so much. Always coming on and breaking down some of these complex legal issues on Overnight America.
My pleasure, Ryan.
And he joins us on the TDK Technologies guest line. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Saw this online. Actress Lori Loughlin, who played Aunt Becky on the Full House series. Headline from CBS News. Lori Loughlin and husband to agree to plead guilty in the college admissions scam. Well, that one was dragged out. I'm sure they paid a lot in legal fees in order to get to that point, which could be true. So apparently, Lori has agreed to 2 months in prison, a $150,000 fine, 2 years of supervised release with 100 hours of community service. The husband agreed to 5 months in prison, $250,000, 2 years of supervised release, 250 hours of community service. Both punishments are subject to the court's approval. Guess that's what they made into it. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? You know, when I wonder the way that we are today and we look back at all these old shows, they can't cancel Full House, can they? I gotta make sure I plug it in right. And this is one of those great, 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 great theme songs of all time, really. I'm guessing you know the words to it.
Whatever happened to predictability?
The milkman, the paperboy,
evening TV. You miss your old familiar friends, but waiting just around the bay.
Everybody, all together.
Everywhere you look, everywhere there's you go.
Think that she's going to have this song stuck in her head on a constant loop when she is in jail. I was trying to think of a good slang name for jail. The clink. The big house. I guess I don't know all the slang for what you would say for jail. But you know, but I would almost guess that when she goes in there as a celebrity, it's not going to be a prison that would be depicted as Alcatraz. It's probably going to be pretty cushy, and she's probably not going to have much of a problem. But then again, I'm guessing she's good. You could make friends in jail if you're Lori Loughlin, right? Do you think they'd give you some preferential treatment? They wouldn't give you a hard time because of it all? I think that's probably likely, too. I saw that come down. Just another court dealing. But, man, they really dragged it out. I guess they thought they had it up until they didn't. Kind of a Yogi Berra type of wording there. I got a couple of other clips I want to play because it is the end of the week and we only got so much time together and I feel like I got to burn through all of these. So let's do a couple of more here. I didn't get to play the full Ron DeSantis clip. He's the governor of Florida. He's the one that was standing there and really defending his state. I like governors that defend their states. And if you look at the difference between Florida and New York and the way that they handled it, you had the media very much criticizing Florida and hating the way that they handled it, and then praising New York. Now, if you were to go back and look at the results of it all, you would say Florida is in a much better position than New York is. Now, I know that New York has New York City and these large metropolitan areas are hit hard, but you look at some of the policies that Cuomo put in place inside of New York, and you look at the huge mistake of readmitting COVID-19 positive cases back into nursing homes and how devastating that was. Terrible mistake. You didn't see the same mistakes being made in Florida. So in New York, they can go back and look at it and say it is what it is and da-da-da-da-da. But he got his policies wrong. In Florida, he got his policies right. So they don't give him the credit when it was right, let alone do they go back and try to correct the record. And then you see all of these other people questioning Florida in general. And I think he had enough of it, Governor DeSantis. And this is my point in all of this. This is my point. I like governors that stand up for their state and defend their state. And that's what he's doing. If it came to a time where Missouri was getting pushed around, I'd expect Governor Parson to stand up and defend this state. And I would hope that he would defend it in this way. Forcefully. Here is Governor DeSantis.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun. And part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks. Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened. Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally, We have a lower death rate than the Acela corridor, D.C., everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we've succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative, it challenges their assumption. So they got to try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Wow. See, he went off. That was a pretty epic rant just off the cuff. And I think Vice President Pence was right behind him when that was going on. And they've been doing a lot of traveling. President was in Michigan today and going through a Ford plant. You heard that in the news. And he, before he left, had a couple of comments here, including, here's one. Will there be a G7 meeting in person this year? Will the world leaders be getting together amid the COVID-19?
We're going to have it probably at the White House and maybe a little combination at Camp David, but primarily at the White House. So if we do the G7, when that all comes together, probably it will be in D.C. at the White House. Okay, but there could be a piece of it at Camp David.
Okay, it's pretty cool. Still doing it. You know, we're a week away on Friday. SpaceX will be launching their astronauts, first astronauts on Crew Dragon for NASA, which is pretty exciting because we have a local astronaut that will be on there. And how cool is it to know that there's an astronaut with local connections that'll be going up next week? And I think a lot of people will be watching it. I forgot what time it was. It was during the day on Friday, as long as the weather conditions are right. And President Trump said he may even go and watch this for himself, which is pretty neat. If I had the opportunity, I would. I've always wanted to see a rocket launch into space. I really, really wanted to. And I think I will at some point. It's one of those things that I think when my son's old enough or if we get an opportunity for a vacation, we can plan it around there. But then this is the question that was asked. Is he going to go see it? And listen to how President Trump answered it today during the same meeting with the press.
I'm thinking about going. That'll be next week to the rocket launch. I hope you're all going to join me. I'd like to put you on the rocket and get rid of you for a while. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Steve.
All right. So he jokes. He's like, I'd like to get rid of you for a moment. He said that with a smile on his face. I don't think anyone took it seriously, of course, but it just goes to show you he, at times, he doesn't consider what he's saying. And he says it tongue in cheek. But here's the problem I have with moments like that. Not because he said it. It's because he has serious issues with the way the press handles him, and he has serious grievances against some of the things the press will do. And he's right to point these things out, and he's right to fight back and push back when it's appropriate. He's absolutely right to do that. And then he'll throw things in like this jokingly. Okay, maybe you don't add the jokes in there because you do have some serious grievances against them. We only have one more segment left of Overnight America. If you want to call in, be the last caller of the week, you can at 314-436-7900 on Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
We're going to do a couple of other stories here. I'm going to play a couple audio clips because why not? We're getting that close to the end of the show. What's interesting from CBS News, report warns against coronavirus fever screening devices. They're worried about the effectiveness of some of these devices. So if you're going back to work and you're wondering, am I going to be required to have my temperature taken as I walk through the door? Or maybe you work for an organization that may consider doing that exact same thing. I'm sure the major sporting events, if they're going to welcome people in, they may be doing that. They could have their regular screening to make sure you're not trying to bring a weapon in or something dangerous. They could have their wands and their metal detectors. And maybe, in the other hand, they'll have another worker there with the glove and the mask holding up something that takes your temperature. And then who knows what happens after that. They're warning because if the tests aren't reliable, then what good is it? You know, and some of these different ones, false positives and negatives could create a false sense of security. And think of it this way, too. How'd you like to be denied going into a sporting event or something that you had a paid ticket to, only to find out they were wrong and you missed out on the experience? That's a whole different thing, too. So they're still trying to figure that out. How about this one I saw from the New York Post? Progressive group used phone data to track protesters at anti-lockdown rallies. Scary. The big takeaway from this, if you have a smartphone and you download apps for that smartphone and you allow that app to collect data from you, as in you voluntarily allow it to take different data points. It could be GPS, it could be phone, it could be texting, it could be your address book. A lot of these apps are very intrusive. They go in and they take way more info than they need because they sell it and they make money off of it. Sometimes the app will allow you to disable it, turn it all off. Other times, the only way you're allowed to use the app is if you have it turned on. And there's some pretty big names that get used to doing that. Well, what happens? They sell this information to organizations like this. It's called Committee to Protect Medicare, collected location data from opt-in cell phone apps, and then they used it to track the movement of protesters. That's a little concerning, isn't it? How do you like to, you download your game and you think you're just going to have a little bit of fun with it, and what are they really using it for? Well, they're using it as a way to sell you out wherever you are. Scary. I never turn the GPS on my phone. Any app that asks for permission, I always say no. And anytime I download an app, I go through and I make sure I disable every single permission that's on it. And I think you should too. You need to be very careful and know that these things are happening, and they do happen. Not good. Not good. One of the presidential candidates there for a while, just a hot minute. He really didn't make it to the stage, but he hung in there for a while. Was Andrew Yang. They had him on, and I think he's been contributing to CNN. They had a couple of questions for him. And Andrew Yang on the Democratic side, someone that had a lot of money, ran for office. His big thing was universal basic income. He wanted to see everyone get $1,000 a month. That was his thing. Well, it wasn't enough to actually get him on the debate stage. He did get a lot of support, including from some pretty high-profile names, including Dave Chappelle. Yang was asked about unemployment needs to be unconditional, and when it comes to the cash, this is what his thoughts were.
Well, we need to get cash into people's hands. This is a crisis, but in my opinion, the cash would be better if it was unconditional. That way you have no incentive except to try and improve your own situation. And the reality, though, is if someone's looking for a job right now, this is going to be a very tough time, a tough environment to find a job. So anything we can do to help people is the right thing to do. But long term, we should be looking at different ways to get cash in our people's hands unconditionally.
Well, that's the thing. They always wanted this universal basic income, and people had pushed for it. And he was a big cheerleader for it. And now he's getting some prominence because the government's handing out checks to everyone. I don't think it should be unconditional. So look at some of the different safeguards that were at least should have been put in place when it came to the stimulus package to begin with. One of those is, hey, you get furloughed or let go. There are opportunities for you to make more money on unemployment than you would actually working. So what's the incentive for you to go back to work? I guess there's two different arguments. You can say that with so much unemployment, at least someone else will get hired if you're unwilling to. But then again, if you're unwilling to go back and work and they do want to have you back, then should you be collecting more than what you would have received before, or at least what the unemployment benefits are? Because the whole idea of this is to get people back to work so you're not getting paid by the government to not work, and at least voluntarily not work. That's not the point of all of this. So Andrew Yang thinks there should be no condition in the money. I think there should. I'm glad that at least there are some safeguards, at least from the federal side, where they mentioned, hey, if you are offered your job back and you purposely decide not to go, then, hey, the money the feds were kicking in goes out, right? You're going to have to deal with your state in the way that that works, but we're not going to be giving you the extra $600 a month or a week or whatever it is. Let me play this one, too. This is what he says, what we really need to do.
If we don't do anything, their future is bleak. That's why we need a new Marshall Plan scale initiative to get millions of Americans back into the workforce, to rebuild the country. We should be hiring healthcare workers, people to literally rebuild the country in the form of a giant infrastructure plan, a mental health initiative, anything we can do to get people back to work, because we're in a deep, dark hole that will not resolve itself without some massive intervention, and that should be led by the federal government.
Yeah, that's an interesting argument, too, that people have brought up with all of the unemployment that's going on, as opposed to having indefinite benefits that are given out. What if there is some sort of hiring by the government in order to help with some of the big backlog of infrastructure issues that we have? Or in some cases, if we're talking about all the different nurses or all the different doctors or health professionals that have been laid off by some of these hospitals, or what's their specialized use, or what could they do inside of a time like this in order to be best utilized? That's an interesting thought, too. Well, if you talk about infrastructure, roads, bridges, schools, government buildings, definitely we're way behind on this. And in some extent, we can look at the wall and what's being built down on the southern border. But in general, there could be some employment opportunities there. It could be a win-win, meaning the government would be spending and sending the checks out anyway. So why not get something back in return, at least some labor that they'd be able to work based on what they're good at? That could be a good thing. So if Andrew Yang, if that's what he's alluding to, I don't mind things like that. I think it's an option we could look into. Well, that does it for us here on Overnight America. We'll be back again on Sunday night. Make sure to go like us on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio. In the podcast, if you missed that hour we had with Bob Costas last night, go get it at KMOX.com/ONA, KMOX.com/ONA. In Facebook, I got links to it on there. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. I hope I get to talk to you again on Sunday. And sleep well. We'll see you then. Have a good weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.